This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all kinds of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow.
New idea for raids, tagging in. You got too many people, just tag someone in. Say you have 10, blah, I don't like it. Oh, come on. Crap.
You are listening to The Instance.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 337 for Friday, August 16, 2013. I'm Scott Johnson, and this is the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to, but if you want to, you can. It's fine. You don't have to, but you can. We're not making any rules here. I'm here. Dills is here. Hello, Dills.
Whoops. Hey, Scott. What's up?
that guy's call is the best thing ever, by the way, at the top. I don't know what the hell happened there, but... it made me laugh.
I don't like it.
Oh, crap. I think his phone was doing something weird, and it just, in context with what he was saying, just fit really well.
It sounded like he was in his car, maybe, and then he was just the most polite person who ever got cut off in the world.
I don't like that.
Yeah, totally. Also with us, Terpster. Hello, Terpster.
Hello, me. How are you doing?
This is what's funny. Today's show was almost a show without either of you because Terpster was in the middle of a project that wasn't quite done, and Dill's internet was being a freak, and it was almost just me. But in the last,
I got that freaky internet.
It's so weird to go from.
You were about to do it by yourself, and the collective will of our audience said no. Well, we cannot be subject to just Scott.
Probably good because this week is crazy full of stuff, and it would have been a dumb week to not have all of us here. Yeah, there's big news this week.
A billion newses.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. So it's great to be back. And now I hear tale that Terpster's not only playing WoW more, but in a huge way, and not only that, but addicting all of his friends to it again. You're on the upswing. What's going on with that? What are you doing?
It's just getting ready for 5.4. It's just got me G'd. It's got me just ready to go. I've been doing Throne of Thunder, loving that. Yeah. I got my Zandalari Spark trinket, which is the coolest trinket in the world because you get to play as like a Zandalari troll every 3 minutes.
Yeah,
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Are you doing? Are you doing this all? What are you doing? 10-man? You doing LFR?
Just, no, Raid Finder. Yeah, yeah. Just LFRing it, and then I mean, there are raids going, but for my time, like I'm literally raiding quote unquote at like 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Just because it's just like, yeah, you can jump in, it takes 15 minutes to queue, and then like you can actually play some content, and then in the evenings when I have other things I cannot do it,
right?
And that's when other raids happen. I need to find like a raiding group of like whatever it would be, like if it's Australia or wherever,
sure,
where I can kind of be opposite. That'd be amazing.
9:30 in the morning, that's like whiskey in the morning, dude. That's crazy to be playing that early, isn't it? Or do you feel, actually, this is a good question. Do you feel more refreshed? Is your mind sharper? Like, what's it like?
My rotation is just spot on, okay? Inquisition.
Yeah, I like playing in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. It's I wake up every morning and I just play by myself or with myself.
So,
One or the other. Yeah,
exactly.
Depending on how close the computer is.
Sure.
Yeah, it's good because you kind of get up, you harvest your crops on your farm.
Oh my god, that's disgusting.
I go talk to my best friend Jogu the drunk, and I say, "Hey Jogu, what's the word on tomorrow's crops?" He's like, "Witch berries. You should plant some witch berries." And I'm like, "Thanks, Jogu the drunk." So then I go and I plant all those. That takes about 5 minutes because it's the most mind-numbingly, insanely horrid system
in
the world.
That's pretty
bad. Mm. Where I could never plant something without it just being terrible. And then,
isn't it weird though? If you were doing that on your phone, you wouldn't think that that was mind-numbing at all.
Yeah, exactly. Or again, if it was quicker and easier. Like I feel like the limiting factor for me is the range. Like the range of actually clicking and tilling soil.
A little bit.
Actually, I don't even have to do that. Now I've got the master plow, And with that, I literally just line up a row and click the plow, and he plows in a direction, does four, and it's like, yay. But even then, that's like really kind of time consuming. I kind of feel like I should have, like, the fact that my Jogu, the drunk best friend, just sits by my pool now rather than his and spouts rubbish. I kind of feel like, no, here's a plow. How about when I harvest this, you plow the soil?
A little bit too, man. Exactly. You seem to know a lot about farming.
Exactly.
Why not? Just imagine on your phone, on the tube, okay, because that's what you guys do. You get in the tube.
I've got Wi-Fi on there now in places.
Yeah, Wi-Fi in the tube. So why not hop in there? And that's where you get this kind of grindy business out of the way.
It's a good early morning thing, though. I do like it. It works. It's a very fun thing to do. And then I think then, just like I said, queuing up for LFR and just gradually kind of getting up that item level.
Let me ask you something, sir. How do you prepare yourself for an LFR that you've never done before? Like, if you've never done that raid period, the first time you're going to do it is the LFR version of it.
So I do it literally by just running in and dying straight away. And then just
you don't care if people go, oh my God, this guy sucks, kick Terpster, kick him out of here, because that seems to be what happens anytime somebody doesn't know the mechanics already.
Right.
That's LFR, I've never, ever been kicked. And to be honest with you, I don't know if it's a European thing. Maybe, again, at the early morning, I'm playing with all the very liberal Swedes or whatever they are, the Finnish people, just being like, oh, yeah, we don't mind. That's fine. We got this. But equally as well, I mean, I do all right. I'm okay. Yeah. I don't die straight away. And, you've got the dungeon journal. You can give that a little bit of a read. I do feel it's a little bit information heavy, shall we say.
Yeah,
I kind of feel like they should have a snapshot under each boss, and it's like, stay out the gunk, make sure you kill the ads or something like that. So, like, when I did what's the big dinosaur boss?
Ding-along. I don't know what his name is.
Exactly. Like, I didn't know how that worked, and suddenly, like, he's like, see the true might of a beast lord, warlord, Zandalari. Japan, and suddenly all these ads start coming in, and I was thinking, like, I'm just gonna hit the bus when I figure out what we're doing.
Yeah,
and then everyone else seems to be killing these. I'm gonna kill some of these ads.
Yeah,
and then on the last one, I was like, I'm gonna click the orb because I get this now. I get this that I'm gonna. Oh, look who saved the day! Yeah,
well,
I saved the day.
There is a general tendency to you can go into most encounters, at least this has been my experience in LFR especially, where things are kind of toned down and generalized, but you can kind of go in there going, well, there's going to probably be some sort of cleave here. There's probably going to be ads. There's probably going to be crap to stay out of. So it's not like you're going to go in there and suddenly Blizzard's going to hand you a bill of goods you've never seen before.
No, definitely not. You're not going to run into a mechanic you've never seen.
Right.
Well, the only one where I might have been one shot, I think, was the snail on the stairway that basically just consumes you. Like, if you stand in front of it for like a second.
Oh, I hate that thing.
And I didn't potentially pay as much attention as I possibly could have. And I died to the snail. And I thought, like, okay, that's pretty noobish.
Yeah.
But past that, it was, it's like I said, it's fairly self-explanatory as things are going on. And LFR's not that, punishing.
No.
And equally, that's what's great about having it gated on item level. Is, I couldn't go in until I was on 480. And so my gear was pretty okay for that level of content.
Yeah.
And then equally, going in there and, killing a few bosses, having actually now being able to use my runes of Mogu Fate or whatever they're called. I actually picked up quite a bit of gear through extra rolls. It's just getting easier.
So that fight, the snail you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
That is when I most appreciate being ranged, because here's how that goes down. The first time I encountered that was in LFR, and I got up those steps, and I went, what's going on up there? There's some kind of chaos going on up there. I get a little closer to try to sort of see what's going on, and I notice, all these rogues and other melee classes, these DPS are just dying left and right. The tanks aren't doing that great either, and what the hell's going on up there? Now there's complaining, and the chat's on fire, and people are yelling, kick these guys, boot these guys, and I just kind of went, just stand back here for a minute? Even though I didn't know what was going on. And if I'd have been up there, I'd have been dead. I'd have been one of the ones they were complaining about. But I benefited from, you know.
Disengage.
Yeah, I basically, it was like I was in a riot, but I was so far back in the crowd that it hadn't reached me yet. And I kind of could see it.
It's almost like, I can imagine like you being in a riot, but not knowing it's a riot.
Right.
Like you've just joined the line and you're just thinking like, this must be a popular thing, whatever we're queuing for, because there are a lot of people. But yeah, it seems like it's pretty good to be range in LFR, and I think DPS is a great place to learn.
I think a lot of people jump in like you, Terpster, and they don't know like anything about any of the fights. But if you do just jump in, I think one like kind of tip you can give yourself is find somebody that has like high DPS or looks like they somewhat know what they're doing. And assist them for targeting, because a lot of times there's the one thing is you got to be killing something in the right order, and that's like staying out of the poop is kind of normal, right? Stay out of the poop,
right?
Everybody can figure out how to do that, but well, not everybody, but most people can figure out how to do that. But if you don't know what to shoot at, that was the one time I ever had somebody go like, "You don't know this fight, do you?" And that was the first time before I'd ever done Deathwing. Before I'd ever done Deathwing with the group, I went in and ran it on LFR. And that one fight where you got to shoot like certain ads in certain orders, I'd never done the fight. I didn't know what the hell was going on. So I was just kind of like shooting random stuff. And then I realized, wait a minute, this isn't working. So then I just assisted somebody else and all of a sudden I was fine.
Yeah.
And like if you don't know anything about the fight, you can kind of get away with it if you just do something like that.
I agree with that. Go ahead.
The thing is, the Raid Finder has the option to volunteer yourself to be the leader. But wouldn't it be better if, like, it said, like, "Oh, you've done this instance on Raid Finder 10 times now, so we're going to call you a champion of the instance."
Sure.
And it just gave a little star next to your name or something like that, and then it'd be like, "Oh, there's a healer
be a guy who doesn't know anything." Right. Right? Rather than volunteering to be the leader, be like, "I volunteer to be the dumbass. I don't know this fight at all. Everybody, just explain it to me real quick," or something like that.
Dumbass role.
That's more important to know who doesn't
they
know.
Could have, yeah, exactly. Law Walker Cho, you know, he shows up and he's all like, "Oh, this Mushan beast charges with great tenacity. Make sure to use your defensive cooldowns when he does." Yeah. And you're like, "Oh, thank you, Law Walker Cho." And he's like, "Ah, but the rest of the story I don't know." AKA, ask someone else.
Yeah, exactly. Like, okay. By the way, the way they position Law Walker Cho in the lore, he very well could be the game's, not narrator, but the game's kind of, I don't know, storyteller for the rest of the...
Darren Bran, isn't he? Like, they used Bran a lot in Wrath, because it's all old war. And he was like, this looks like some kind of vehicle.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I guess, yeah, this is going to be
He is the new Bran Bronzebeard. And what's great about him is he is so soothing. It's like, oh, man, like this burden stuff we're going to talk about later in the show. Everything he does, I feel like he's become the star of the Pandaren expansion. Like, it's supposed to be, you know, all these other Pandaren characters we know either from the past or that they've unfolded now or in this latest cinematic, which we'll talk about here in a minute. I can't remember the guy's name. What's the guy's name?
Taran
Zun. Zun is a brown MP3 player that failed. Yeah. He's kind of risen to be the kind of face of everything, and I'm fine with that. I think that's great. Let's let him continue to be the voice of the game.
Especially
for a while.
If you go do all the achievements to get your cloud. Yeah. Then you hear all of the stories about everything.
And it's great.
It's really well done. It's really well done. If you've never done that, go do that. I'm sure a lot of people have done it by now.
Yeah, there's guides, you just fly around. Right click on a scroll, do them all, you get a red cloud. It's awesome.
It's easy.
And you get to hear sweet little tales from favorite lore master.
The Pandaren Empire. Blah 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 blah.
Or I should say Lore Walker, sorry.
It is all the inflection.
Like Skywalker.
Yeah, it is like Skywalker. But it is all the inflection. Terpster's right. It isn't so much what he's saying, it's how he's saying it.
Blah 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 blah.
Right.
That's all I hear, and I'm like, "Have I got my cloud yet?" No, okay. Oh, right, next one.
Move on.
You know. The Mogul. Blah 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 blah.
Something.
But alas, the story ends. I must know more. Go find more.
And say, like, okay, thank you, Joe. That's good. I'll go.
He's the best.
I'll go check out. Yeah.
He's the best.
I can imagine that he would be great to have a party, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you could actually have, you could sit around a table with three figures from Azeroth.
Yeah.
I think Cho would get a seat at my table.
Of course he would.
It's got some tells.
You gotta tell.
But
things.
Then again, it might get a bit much. It'd be like, all right, Cho, okay, we don't need to know everything. Can you pass the salt? Oh, salt! Back in the old times, this was used. It's like, okay. Don't worry. I won't. No, I'm fine. I don't even want it anymore.
I
want
to hear the salt story.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Dills, I was in the game last night. I was testing out the Battle.net launcher, doing some stuff with it, and I noticed you were in there, Isle of Thunder, mm-hmm. hanging out, doing stuff. What are you doing in there?
I'm just trying to get caught up on the lore stuff that I have not finished, because mostly my game time has been alts and PvP for a while now, since I haven't been able to raid. But one thing I realized is I haven't finished a lot of these quest lines that are kind of important to know before the final battle, so... Yeah. I'm going in there and I'm just kind of cleaning up the rest of that stuff. So there was several things in Isle of Thunder I had not done yet, so I just popped over there real quick. And I got to do some more of the stuff by Orgrimmar, and then I think I'm pretty much caught up. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat. Yeah. The biggest work I have to do is just gear stuff, because I've been every time I get in, I go, what do I want to do? LFR? I think I want to pet battle for a while, or I think I'll...
Well, that's the thing. There's so many things to do right now.
Yeah.
Every time, though. When I log in, first thing I do is queue up, because it's going to take 15 to 20 minutes as DPS, if not more. And so then that's when I think, okay, well, I'm going to do some dailies. And I actually find the pacing works really well, and the way that they split LFR into kind of three bosses at a time... that works really well. It feels like scenarios are perfect if you want instant gratification. If you want to go in and do something, anyone queuing for a scenario, I've never waited more than a couple of minutes, if that. It's always quick and speedy, and heroic scenarios, they're a little bit tougher, but they're still good fun. That I kind of feel like, they've got the balance. It's nearing this sort of really great casual balance that they've I don't think they've ever really got as far as this, in terms of anyone can kind of jump into WoW and play the type of game they want to play really quickly. Obviously your hardcore are always going to want that sort of more intensive raid scenario, but that's always been fairly, if you're in a good guild, instant as well, because you log on, everyone else is logged on at that agreed time, and away you go.
I'm just having one of those. Maybe Rogue Legacy has ruined me, but I'm having one of those periods where I want to get into the game and I want to do something. And as soon as I get in, I go, oh, anything I got to do right now is going to take a whole bunch of time and work. Like there's that, I don't know, it's a weird, I feel that way with all MMOs, at least multiple times during
the cycle. You
got to
just do little by little, though, if you feel that way, because none of this stuff requires you to sit there for hours. I mean, you can knock out, so what I did with Isle of Thunder is I knocked out three or four quests and then bailed on that, did some PvP for a little while, and then went back to my farm and did a little bit of that. Like, I mean, it's, you can kind of break things up into little chunks and then you feel like you got a lot done. But it's true, if you're not able to log in every day, you do feel like, I'm just never going to get to the point I want to get to on this stuff, so why even do it?
Well, to me, it's a combination of summer, it's coming to a close soon, I got stuff going on, just busy with a lot of things. And so that's part of it. Also, I'm just at that cycle where, or that point in the cycle of an expansion where I'm like, I really want this new content, but for me to qualify to play reasonably well in that content, I am behind. Well, how behind am I? Like, you start just going through all these scenarios.
But
about how
what's
going to
happen,
there?
Though, with 5.4 is you've got this brilliant thing that happens with the final or near final patch, when all of a sudden all this awesome gear becomes super easy to obtain.
Yeah, so it's going to be easy to get.
I literally geared up through doing the Corcron weekly quests. And so each week I'd gather up phenomenal amounts of stone, meat, oil, and lumber, and trade it in for a primal mojo or whatever it's called. And I was getting, really kind of fairly high-end gear, for just allowing me to jump straight into the raid finder. Mm. And obviously it took a little while because of the time it takes to kind of do those. But equally, it wasn't a taxing process. It was a time-consuming process, but it didn't require much skill or attention. It was more hanging around in the barrens, killing stuff and looting stuff until all of a sudden a wagon needs escorting, or even better, has overturned. And then it's just, you know, beautiful.
It brings me to a point that I wanted to make, and that I've been meaning to make this for a few weeks. And that is one of the things I think people forget. There's a push in MMO development right now, and a lot of the companies who have MMOs on the horizon are all touting these features, and some have come and gone that also touted these features that didn't do so well. But they all think what we want as players is a more direct control, Twitch-based combat experience. And I would argue that what you just described, okay, doing those weekly quests, getting in there and getting a bunch of zoning out. Yeah, zoning out, having a TV on in the background, being able to kind of casually go and kill stuff and do stuff because you're used to the whole, you know, WASD mouse control and these hot bars, and you're good, and you can do that without having to put too much thought into it. Hell, you can even raid in a pretty casual way. Especially with all the downtime, you're kind of sitting there and you're
especially
like...
Especially as a Retribution Paladin, literally just... I'm amazed that the keys 2 through 5 haven't worn away just from as I just continually mash them.
Right.
It's like, have I got holy power? Well, we'll find out if 5 works or not.
We'll see if my 5 key is broken yet. That's all true, but I think it's too... I think it's something we all think, oh yeah, more... Give me, you know, let me aim, let me dodge, let me do all these things. But no, then when it comes right down to it, it's a different experience.
I want to do that in other games. I don't want to do that in an MMO. I want to do that in, you know, first person shooter type stuff or fighting games or things like that. In an MMO, you're right. I do want to have timing to be a factor, and I want to have to know the order at which I should be doing things. But I definitely don't want to be worrying about other things than just my rotation and where I'm standing. If I have to like flip and dodge and jump around and all that, it's going to take me out of it, getting all fired up
about barbershops and dance studios in the game and saying, oh man, I cannot wait for that to come. That's going to be amazing. Why isn't dance studio in here? You promised it years ago. Where the hell is it? Well, at least we got the barbershop coming. Okay. And then they come and then nobody cares and uses it.
Nobody cares? They always have that in like every game too, where you can go and change your appearance. And how often do you ever do it?
I did it once to try it. Core
of people who love to always look different.
Yeah, I did it once to try it the weekend it hit with that whatever that was. It was a patch or expansion, I don't remember. But I remember doing it one time, gave GURP gray hair, and then never gone back.
No, I know. I went away from the mohawk, and I was like, nah, dude, I have a mohawk. That's wrong.
That's who Dills is. Back. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, because it's weird, because in Lich King, I used it to change my main at the time to have like crazy undead hair as a gnome, and it was all white, and it was a whole like, your soul had been stolen by the Lich King.
Right.
You will reclaim it. And at the end of it, I was like, actually, now I kind of like this look better than the old one. So that stuck. And it's kind of felt like it was a character circle. I quite liked it. But equally, I've never used it since.
Yeah.
Even Transmog, like... Because you have to pay for it. And I know that gold doesn't mean the same today as it did before.
Right.
But when I'm like, what, 8 gold? Nah, screw that. I'm not doing that. I'm going to change this in a couple of weeks.
That to me is better than the barbershop thing, because that to me is like, I can specifically know this one piece of gear that I always loved and I can get it again. So like, I think more people are using that than ever.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But I would rather have cosmetic slots like that. On the transmog guy, I can go over to him and I give him all of that loot in a new character kind of paper doll sheet. And then whatever I equip shows as that, rather than it be tied to an item.
This is what I want to look like.
Exactly. So it's like, there you go. Here's my gear. Whatever I equip, I'm always going to look like this.
That would be much more convenient. That is very, very true. If I only want my shoulders to be this certain thing all the time, I just you do that one thing, and then they're always
And then, like, in an LFR, you pick up new loot, and you're like, ah, oh, sweet, and you equip it. And I get that maybe they want to keep that whole sort of visual element of, you've got something new, that's kind of cool.
I like but, how the chat right now goes, like Rift or like DC Universe Online?
Well, there are definitely examples of...
It doesn't exist in other places. Yeah. But, yeah. I mean,
for that, all of these places have, you know, these sort of cosmetic sets.
Right.
And WoW tried to do it differently. I personally don't like it as much.
Yeah.
But, you know...
I get them trying to be unique with it and teach their own. But I would say this. If you would just let me go to a guy in town that would say, I'm Paint Walker Harry... And you just pay me whatever, and then I will make all your gear, no matter how mismatched it is, no matter how weird and sloppy it is, or you got this blue and this old transmog piece and these three other things that all don't match, I will make them all black for you. And here's and that's going to cost you 100 gold. See you later. I would do that every day. I would go change to all red. I'd change to all black. I'd mix and match cool matching colors. I just wish there was a dye system in the game. And I know they've talked about it for years, and they're never going to do it. Probably not built into the core tech.
Do it. All they need to do is just do it from now on out. And it's a bit like, you know, reforging and stuff like that only works on items of a certain level and up because they didn't want to have to go back and rebalance stuff just to make sure there wasn't some crazy imbalance.
Yeah.
Is that I think they could. They could just say, you know, for dyeing gear, it requires item level 600 and up.
Yeah.
And it just means that in the new expansion, all the stuff they build with that in mind.
Right.
And for all we know, they could do. Yeah, and that could be a big thing in the Dark Below.
And Rift does do this. They're right. Dark Age of Camelot did that back in the day when I was playing that years and years ago. So it's not like a new system. We know that. Guild Wars 2 has a pretty cool die system. There's some cool... I've been playing that again, by the way.
And again, but you know what? We can all say... We can all say that... Clearly, this one feature is not the feature to rule them all because we're talking about all these games that have way less subscribers that do this. Exactly. You know, so as and important as we're making it sound right now, do we really care?
The one thing
we're fine.
Think, yeah, exactly. That we all really care about though is WoW looking like WoW and being WoW and. The patch trailer that came out this past week.
Oh, should we talk about that? We should. Thank
we
you.
We should, but I think we should do it with the news.
Oh, yeah, we probably got to do a little thing here. Here, let's try this. Oh, this sounds good. I'll use this.
Big news of the week.
I like how we're figuring out.
I like it. It's a nice transition.
As we go.
It's a nice transition. I like it.
The
big news of this week brought to you by Typefrag.com, the best Ventrilo service on earth. If you need it for your guild, for your 25-man team, or your new flex rating team, doesn't matter. They'll have a package for you at Typefrag.com. All right. Patch 5.4, Siege of Orgrimmar trailer launched in the hands of people to fill our eyeballs. Now, here's what I expected, and here's what we got. What I expected was another pretty good, okay, in-game engine cinematic done by the very talented in-game cinematic team that's now part of the overall cinematics team there at Blizzard. And I expected it to be on par with what we saw with other memorable ones. But I was dead wrong. What we got instead is so damn good that I would watch a... They've gotten so good with articulation and character stuff. Partially because this is the new model for Garrosh, and we're also dealing with a lot with the Pandaren model in this thing. And it's, you know, this stuff is easier to manipulate with the tools they're using now and stuff. But all of that aside, this looked insane. And it's on par, certainly epic wise or kind of, you know, lore world shattering wise as anything they've done previous to this, including like their full CGI stuff. And if you don't hate Garrosh Hellscream by the end of this thing, then you're dead inside, man.
I'm sorry, but evil. He also walks away from explosions better than anyone else in the history of World of Warcraft.
Hey, cool guys.
Yeah, he didn't look back. He just rocked it. But I mean, it was amazing because it kind of started off. You know, you've got the butterfly and the transition and stuff, and you thought, oh, okay, this is pretty cool. And then it is literally once that new Garrosh model comes out with all of those articulation points and that rig that they can, you know, express so much emotion through. It just, to me, if this is the new orc model sort of thing, but obviously Garroshified, if the new player models are going to be of this level of expression, like, holy crap. I mean, WoW will just dominate again in terms of being visually appealing and attractive to the whole new generation of gamers out there.
Yeah, and it, not only you know, that, but it's appealing to people who have... I'm getting emails and tweets from people are saying, oh, I'm back in. How quick can I get to where
no,
I need to be?
Tons of comments on Reddit, on YouTube, on everywhere where they're going, well, I guess I got a sub again because I cannot I can't not play this. I have to play this.
Yeah.
What I just saw. And what's amazing is, like you said, this is in game cinematics. And I stopped halfway through and I went back and I was like, is this a CGI or is this? Because I was like, I've never seen them do this much
animation in these either. Exactly. Yeah, it's in game assets, but I don't think it's in the engine. However, like the quality can kind of carry on. I mean, it is a little bit funny, like when you've got, you know, he's talking about like, I intend for it to happen or whatever, as and then it cuts to actual in-game where you've got everyone lined up and it's like, oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah, frame rate's a little suspect. And
And then it's like, oh, okay. Yeah, this looks more like, wow. But again, I mean, just having a game where the assets can be used in this way.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And to have this, like, if you remember the quest in the opening area of Pandaria and when the two sides go to war, and the Shard of Anger, whatever it was, erupts out of the Jade Dragon.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
but this is so much cooler.
Oh, it's amazing! And it's, you know what?
If this is a regular thing though for quests, and like cool big, you know, continual story moments, like I kind of feel like Garrosh's story is what Myst is about in many ways.
Yeah.
And equally the sort of the Shards and Pandarans repressing their emotions. I kind of feel like if the whole story of the next expansion was dealt with in these big sort of 4-minute chunks, and like every patch had a nice big 4-minute cool cinematic thing that helped you understand the story and took you through and brought you up to speed, like it's just fantastic.
Yeah, and it seems like they're able to do this quicker. They're able to do it less expensively. Like there's a lot of advantages to this, and there's only really one other company who does this well with in-game assets, but you know, this kind of middle place of making cinematics, and that's Valve. They've done this for a very long time. They did it with the Left 4 Dead series. That stuff's all in-game, you know, assets, but done in this kind of other way.
TF2,
all that stuff. And it's great to see them embrace this and get so good at it and get me so freaking stoked. Like, listen, I got a couple of clips. I'm going to play a couple of these, and then you can kind of get a taste for this. If you haven't seen it yet, do see it. This isn't going to spoil anything, but there's, you know, this will give you an idea of Garrosh and how pissed off he is.
Bring it to the pools.
I just like that part because it sounds like chlorine. He's on chlorine duty. Bring it to the pools. Let's see. Here's Zoo or whatever his name is talking.
You have run rampant for far too long, Hellscream.
So he's pretty pissed. Here's some racism in the game.
I have fought beside the Tauren, trolls, and others.
And others, dude. Who are the others? Who are you calling others?
Others. Yeah. All the blood elves are like, seriously, bro, come on. Yeah.
Blood elves, goblins, orcs themselves. Yeah. I understand leaving orcs off, but.
I like the whole the punch bit. It's the punch is the coolest thing. Yeah, and it's just like that water I don't know. Surely we can ruin it, but let's not ruin it. We're ruining it.
Yeah, visually.
Yeah, come on.
It's just got such a fantastic.
If you haven't watched it, stop the podcast right now
and
watch it and then come back.
And then come back.
So we can spoil.
Welcome back, everybody. I got one more clip to play for you. Check this out. So I don't know if when you were younger, if you ever did my dad's better than your dad jokes. But here's one in the cinematic.
You confront a force beyond reckoning. Your father dabbled in powers beyond reckoning.
That reminded me of like you. It's like, oh man, you're so stupid. You're so stupid. It's like that. I thought that was pretty
good.
It would
have been better if it was his mum, though, in all fairness. Yeah. I would like him to say, like, leave my mother out of it. Yeah. Come on.
And Horde players, when you heard this line, you had to be a little pissed because this is the most exclusionary thing ever said in the game.
I'm no longer part of my Horde.
Dude, jeez, dude. He's just cutting him off.
But that's why you can kill him.
Yeah, I guess so. And the best part of the entire trailer, right here, in my opinion.
All who challenge me will burn in the fires of my hatred.
Oh, dude, come on, man. Bad assery.
Yeah.
So good. Anyway, go see it. By the way, quick note, it appears that Taran Zoo is hurt pretty bad. At the very least, it looked like he might pass from this confrontation. Blizzard was quick to say via Dave Kosick on Twitter that he lives and you'll be able to rescue him in the Siege of Orgrimmar raid. He got worked over pretty bad, though, he said. So don't stress too bad about that beloved character in Pandaria. He will live on, assuming you do your job in
Taran Zhu's been a little bit of a douche throughout, in all fairness. He's not been... I've not loved him as a character. He's been as xenophobic, I think, as Garrosh has been here. And Taran Zhu's all like, come on, you guys have really, you know, taken the biscuit here. You know, we've let you in and you've just messed this place up.
Yeah.
And Garrosh is like, yeah, I don't care. You know, I've got myself an old god heart. I'm going to blow this thing sky high.
Yeah.
But it's very cool. All of it's very cool. I do feel sorry, though, for players who are coming back. And if they don't come back in time, I mean, well, firstly, they're not going to see the Veil as it once was. They get to see it now with the quarry. But equally, post-patch, it's going to be completely screwed.
Yeah.
The whole place is going to be all Shari and black.
Yeah.
Well,
no. Well, hold on, though. Isn't it all going to be... Is that stuff going to be instanced? I don't know. I don't know if that's getting phased or not.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I hope so. I mean, I hope so.
It's the sort of thing I wonder, like, with the quest you get at level, 89 or whatever it is, with the White Tiger, when they open the gates. Like, I wonder, like, can they even do that with this?
That's a good point.
But
that's
I think it exists now, and I think you go in there, and it's like, oh, there's a quarry here. Okay, yeah. I guess that's a thing.
Yeah. What's weird is I actually swam in that pool. Where he threw the heart.
Really?
Yeah, I've been in there. I went in there with GURP once. I don't know why. Can't remember what the deal was. Oh, I know what it was. There was a bugged out quest there with, I don't know if it was Cho or somebody was there. And I had to talk to him and it bugged out and it wouldn't let me finish the quest. So
yeah, there's some dailies over there. I actually did the same thing, I think.
Yeah, and it was jacked up at the time. It's fixed now. But I remember at the time going, oh man, what am I doing wrong? So I'm just jumping around, clicking on stuff like you do when a quest is busted. Jumped into the well, swam all the way to the bottom, came back out. Little did I know that water was about to get pretty sullied by a giant old god heart. And that's badass. It's really, really good. If you haven't seen it, please go see it. By the way, this just in. Breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. Hearthstone beta emails incoming. They are, today is the day. Twitter is all explode with information about checking your emails for betas.
Opted in. Got to be opted in for this.
Now, here's the funny bit.
Get a chance.
I was... but told that the three of us might see these before others. And I'm not seeing ours yet. So what the hell, Blizzard? Where's my beta key?
We're not talking about this game anymore.
Yeah, we're done. According to everybody, including PR and community team members and everybody and their dog, Twitter is saying that you should be checking your emails for beta invites for Hearthstone. So watch for that. Very exciting stuff. Okay, moving on a little bit. Battle.net 1.1, or 1.0 rather, hits the current testers. Open beta likely means we're really close to Hearthstone betas now. This seems stupid because we know that's happening today. So I installed Battle.net 1.0. And big thanks again to Corey Stockton on Tuesday for a fantastic interview here on this show, where he confirmed the best thing about the launcher is the Hearthstone functionality, which now, you know, at the time we kind of approximated that, well, this probably means that if that thing's out, that launcher's tied directly to Hearthstone, and Hearthstone's got to be right on the heels of that. Looks like that's all coming to fruition. But let's talk about Battle.net real quick. Let's talk about what it isn't. Terpster, before the show, you were saying there are many things it's not.
I can't chat. It tells me who's playing.
Yeah.
Like, and like, you know, I've got people, like, I've got two of my friends currently playing in WoW.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to, like, send them a message and be like, oh, hey, man, do you want to play some Diablo or Hearthstone? Or just like, oh, cool, what are you doing? Oh, I'll be right in. Yeah. You know, I just kind of feel like I've got this.
That's how I saw Dills in last night. I saw him in that via that interface, and I literally right clicked it.
You click on the name. I'm like, I'm just clicking. It won't do it. Come on.
I wanted to say, Dills, what are you doing on Thunder Isle? Let me, you know, like, this is great. Maybe I can come in there with you. And I couldn't do it.
That's weird.
That's coming, I'm sure.
Okay.
To me is a big part of this, is the social element and being able to see everyone who's playing.
Yeah.
It's got some cool, I mean, the cool settings of kind of keeping everything up to date. Like, I loaded it up and all of a sudden, apparently I haven't played StarCraft 2 in ages, and so it started downloading patches there. You know, I kind of like it.
Yeah.
I think it's
it's all right. Yeah, it's all right. It's a good start. It's pretty. It's easy to use. I see what they're doing. They're doing what I thought they were doing, is essentially this launcher you know, depending on how you feel about these kinds of things. But it's essentially Blizzard's version of Uplay or Steam to some degree, or maybe even closer to something like Origin. Other than, you know, this is the stable of Blizzard games. You're not going to get a bunch of extra stuff. You're not going to get Assassin's Creed 4 out of this thing. But it runs like those things do. It runs in the background. It can keep your stuff up to date.
Let's think. If Activision Blizzard wanted to put, say, Call of Duty on here, you know, I mean, COD, you know, is on Steam but never does tremendously well. You know, maybe they could start leveraging, you know, their other, you know, franchises. I mean, to be honest with you, the more inclusive a platform is, the better. I don't really like the segregation of having a Battle.net launcher and a Steam friends list and then
an
Origin friends list. And, you know, I would love to have something that pulls it all together. But obviously, you know, everyone wants a slice of the pie.
Well, how weird was
this is what Facebook did really well, was they just, like, every other thing in the world can all integrate with Facebook.
Absolutely, so, yeah. That was a... Yeah. I mean, I mean, the problem with that is then when somebody dominates, you don't, people get skittish and they're like, I don't like
it. Yeah, it throws people for a loop a little bit, going like, so wait, I have to use this thing? What if I don't want to use this thing?
Yeah.
And that's where you run into the problem. But I still think the convenience factor outweighs that.
I agree. I think it's nice to be able to launch any one of these three titles and see it skip the login screen. That's kind of a weird feeling at first. You're not used to it. So when I launched WoW for the first time from within the launcher, it just jumped ahead right to character select. And I'm like, whoa, I am authenticated already. I don't have to do this again randomly or however often it checks. Or in the case of, I think, is it one of them? No, I think they all do the kind of, we're not going to check every time, but we're going to check occasionally on your authenticator.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how it works now that I'm permanently logged in essentially to the Battle.net launcher. Will it at some point say, hey, we're just going to check your authenticator?
So. I mean, when on the web interface, you can remember your computer for 30 days on the Battle.net site.
Yeah. Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if this had a similar sort of thing.
Before you continue that line of thought, let me pop in real quick. Give a little bit of love to our friends at Audible.com. Do you guys know Amazon owns Audible now? I had no idea. That explains why I'll tell you what it explains. It explains why a company like Amazon would be interested in a company like Audible. It was already this amazing quality. And now with the might of the mighty Amazon behind it, you can expect them to be around a long, long time providing the same great content you've come to know and love. I love Audible.com. They have so many books, so many cool stories, like this one that I just picked up by Neil Gaiman, The Ocean at the End of the Lane, his brand new novel. Been really excited to get it. Moreover, he narrates it, which is kind of cool. Check this out. Here's a little bit of him now.
Chapter 1. Nobody came to my 7th birthday party. There was a table laid with jellies and trifles with a party hat beside each place and a birthday cake with 7 candles on it in the center.
Man, he reads those well. I mean, he writes them well, but he reads them even better. If you're interested in that book or any book, really, Audible's got a great deal for you right now. You can get one absolutely free. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/wow and pick up a new book today. That's Neil Gaiman's The Ocean at the End of the Lane or any number of his other books. For example, Neil Gaiman's American Gods, one of my favorite books of all time. Man, I love that book. But so many others, fantasy, sci-fi, whatever you're into. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow.
Yeah.
It
did look weird though, right? Like, boof, it was like this, I don't know, it's weird.
It's a strange sensation.
When you log out, though, I noticed that the login screen remains, so I'm sure they've got some things to tweak. But when I logged out of WoW, it took me back to, for some reason, it took me back to the login screen. So, like, log out to the main menu, not character select. I had to log in again.
Yeah, that's just a game thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice. It kind of feels like that it's designed to go on a TV. It's like really big buttons or something. I don't know. It just feels a little bit like big picture Steam. I'd quite like it if there was more news and actual kind of content on the launcher page. On mine, at least, you know, I've got PTR, you know, now live, which then clicks through to the news. But I kind of like on Steam, it's got the feed beneath the game, and it shows you, you know, from different websites and stuff like that, anyone talking about what's happening in that game at the moment. So I can see, like, you know, firstly, it was all, you know, cosmetic armor pieces everywhere. Quite funny, the other day I saw someone actually, a tank in LFR, who actually was just wearing the cosmetic hood.
Oh, the helm or the...
Yeah. Yeah, not transmogged, just wearing it. So, yeah, just well done.
That's well great. Done. That's like taking. That's like buying your. You know what those things are? Those are basically Burger King paper crowns. Yeah. Remember those growing up? You'd go to Burger King and they'd give you that paper crown when you were a kid. I feel like that's what those things are. And when people wear them weird or kind of nothing matches and that's just on top of it all, that's what they remind me of. Some kid at Burger King for some reason. No offense. If you spent good money on it, great. Happy birthday. You got it. But forever you'll be the Burger King kid to me. let's see. The Blizzard says this, and so this confirms something we were just talking about. The new single sign-on functionality allows players to log in once to access World of Warcraft, StarCraft II, and Diablo III, and the upcoming PC and Mac versions of Hearthstone, Heroes of Warcraft, and stays logged in for up to 30 days. So that part is confirmed. You'll probably have to log in or re-authenticate at some point after those 30 days. Players can also install games directly through the app, and if you choose to have the app running on your desktop, keep them up to date automatically even while you're away from your computer. Please know that it's entirely up to you whether you wish to leave the app running. You can exit at any time. We'll automatically relaunch whenever your standard launchers would. So here's the funny bit, or not the funny bit. There's the important part. For Blizzard to succeed with this thing and have this be meaningful for players, there's two things they have to do. One, bring in the functionality we talked about that's missing. You got to be able to chat between games. It's ridiculous not to have that in there, and I'm sure that's coming. Secondly, make it non-obtrusive, lightweight in terms of, you know, memory and footprint on the computer, and not a huge pain to deal with, like Uplay, like Origin, and even in some ways like Steam, which I like Steam a lot, but there's some things about Steam that drive me nuts. It's a little bloated
also,
right now.
If I can put in a special request, as someone who has both an EU and US account, currently I have to switch between them in terms of which ones I want to play. But what would be really nice is in terms of like my friends list and all the other jazz, if that was actually linked.
Mm. So you consolidate.
So yeah, exactly. So I could maybe chat across all of my regions. That would be really
cool. And
also
a quick way to, if you had multiple accounts, a quick way to access them one after another without having to log out.
Yeah,
that would be awesome.
Totally agree.
Just select the new one. Yeah,
totally agree. But the big thing for me, honestly, is the cross chat. That's like that's a big whoop.
You gotta have it. Yeah,
I wanted to say, Dills, dude, I'm talking to you from this thing. This is rad. I'll be there in a minute. I wanted to do that so bad last night, but instead,
yeah, like say if you're in Diablo and you're like, well, look, I'm still in a dungeon right now. Mm-hmm. As soon as I finish that, I'll pop over there and we'll run, you know, LFR or something like that. Yeah. That's
was the
exactly
dream. That
the
was
the type of thing you want to be able to do.
That was the original promise. So they gotta make good on that. And then, I don't suspect it's all that hard. I think this is all about let's get something out that's working and polished, and then we'll add functionality that could, you know, potentially at launch cause problems. We'll add that a little bit later because they've already got it within the three games as it is. There's cross chat already, at least for your BattleNet friends. Yeah. So why the hell not? All right. Let's see. Let's talk about this one last thing here before we move on. And that is the Reaper of Souls and the Dark Below. Reaper appears to be a trademarked registration in relation to Diablo 3, like expansion name. That appears to be what's going on there. So Diablo 3, the Reaper of Souls, is likely the title of the next expansion.
So they were teasing that there might be something happening at Gamescom. Mm-hmm. You've got to think if they're registering trademarks the week before, that something's going to go down.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be there, so fingers crossed it does.
Yeah.
Because I'd like to see it. And it's on the, well, actually there must be an expansion because on the Diablo website, they've got a teaser for it. And the image is called Diablo 3X1 or something like that, like expansion one tease.
Right.
And it's just like, oh, okay. See,
I'm pretty excited about this, except I don't want it to be 2 years from now, but, it probably
will. Exactly. Who knows what it would be or when it would be.
Yeah.
But you kind of got to think there's a lot of cool things they've said around the console game about how it's the game they should have made.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be interested to see if they put their kind of money where their mouth is and how many of those changes come through into this expansion. You know, will we get offline play? Will we get a non-auction house version? Or, you know, will we get the game that they wanted to make?
Well, I remember Lord of Destruction was a hell of an expansion, so they have a good track record with Diablo. And also, you'll get to see Corey and Tom and Greg will all be there, I think. They're all traveling to Germany this week.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I think so. I think that was the deal. We got that Corey interview in, like, under the wire because he was getting ready to leave. And I think he's there for a while, so you'll have a chance to hang out, I guess. So let's talk about The Dark Below. So the Reaper of Souls, likely Diablo-related, and we'll hear more probably coming up pretty quick here. But The Dark Below just registered.
Nagas.
Most people say, wow, expansion. Some have suggested Naga playing a much bigger role, probably not as a race to play, but as a, you know, something going on there. And this
well,
all
the
happening
dark below
under the...
sounds very under the sea, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That's often how you would describe. I can't think of us going to, like, Argus or, like, an old... like demon world and having it the dark below unless maybe again it's more old god themed and it's all the old gods in the crust of Azeroth.
I was thinking old gods type stuff, but
because maybe they are the darkness below.
I could see the underwater stuff. I just really don't want to have water levels again.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know how they do it, but then equally maybe there's an event that happens, you know, Garrosh in using the old god's heart manages to displace water, disrupting the Naga and causing them to take the fight to us. And we're like, no, we're going to take the fight to you. And we go to their newly unveiled non-water lands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what they did. You know, it would be an easy thing to do underwater.
What's the zone? What's the zone that's under the maelstrom right now? What's that? I always forget what that's called.
Bashir? Oh, no. Earthholm.
Is it Deepholm?
Yeah, Deepholm.
Is it? Okay. Yeah. Is it?
Isn't it?
You're
right, Deepholm. That's right.
We can't confirm that this is real quite yet because I don't know if you guys saw, but MMO Champion.
Oh, what are they saying?
Yeah, hoax.
Oh, might be a hoax. Damn it, really?
Yeah.
Ah. All right. Well, keep that in mind, folks.
Shenanigans on it. No, there was a hoax that was done with Corgis Unleashed.
Well, yeah, I heard about that one. Yeah.
that seems obvious on the face of it.
Yeah, so. If you fell for that one, oops.
On you than them, I think.
But apparently there's also some uncertainty around this at this time. Yeah. So
they're just talking right here. They're referring. I don't know if anyone knows this, but they're referring to Bashiok's very, very hairy sort of pubic crotch area, and they're referring to it as the dark below. So I say that because I know he listens.
He says the dark below me, and and people, they're like, "So what did you say?" So the dark below me.
Sorry, Bashiok.
Yes.
I joke. All right. Well, one way or the other, I still believe that if we are not there yet, we are close to hearing what this new expansion will be. I think we're going to find out certainly at BlizzCon, but usually you'll start to see these things get registered before that. I'm more surprised that Reaper of Souls, if it is truly Diablo 3 related, and there are rumors that they're going to talk a bunch about that at Gamescom, that they literally did it a week before or 2 weeks before the event.
Oh, yeah, maybe then they wouldn't have registered.
That seems
nuts. I'm trying
to
think when they registered Cataclysm. It was quite a bit before what it was.
Yeah. Well, what if Reaper of Souls... I don't know, there's probably more information about on the Diablo side that I don't know here, so if I'm being dumb, I apologize. But what if Reaper of Souls is the WoW-related thing? What if it's got something to do with undead stuff?
I don't think it is because of the image that we've already seen.
Yeah, on the D3 website, and like I said...
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's got like a quote from the Book of Tyrael about death.
Never mind.
I'm pretty sure that's it. And I can't wait for that. That's going
to
be...
But back to my point, here's what they need to do. If it's underwater, that's just your passageway. What's really important is some under the crust business going on that we weren't aware of. That's how I want the deep below to be. I don't want it to be Vashjir or Vagina Smear, as I used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
I need it to be underwater to get there. Maybe a big, I don't know, whirlwind thing in the ocean created a big dry patch of land down there, and we all got to float down on goblin things and get in or whatever. But I want that. I want this to be cavernous.
Just be caves too. I mean, I don't. Yeah, I want demons, and I don't. Yeah, I don't want water. I don't want seahorses and stuff.
Because I mean, what would be interesting is the maelstrom sits where the old Well of Eternity used to be, and it was made when Ashara tried to summon the Burning Legion through the Well of Eternity is a big portal, and Sargeras was going to come through it himself and basically completely wipe out Azeroth.
Yeah.
And Malfurion and Illidan, they were badasses. They stopped it, but in stopping it, they kind of exploded it. Well, Malfurion did, and Illidan was like, "Oh, damn you! I was not prepared," didn't do it. Well, and so it could kind of feel in with the whole Black Prince quest line about that. There's big demon evil coming, You know, and we've got these, you know, maybe the Burning Legion's trying to be summoned again by the Naga, and Ashara's, you know, found that, you know, maybe Garrosh disrupting this kind of small pocket of the Well of Eternity or whatever is in Pandaria. Maybe that actually then has released latent energies or some crap, I don't know, that means that they can summon the Burning Legion again.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just kind of like the idea that we could almost have like a Sunwell style fight, yeah, where before we were fighting, what's his face?
The guy that used to yell a lot.
Not Archidon, but anyway, yeah, the big, big red man.
Yeah.
But we could fight Sargeras.
Dude, yeah, how about Jiraxus's angry brother? How about that?
Yeah, exactly.
You face Jiraxus's other brother! And he could just fight. That'd be great.
From another mother!
Oh my gosh.
And I think it'd be cool, though, if we've got you know, Sargeras even as an end boss. That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be all right. But Dills, how many times, Dills, did we kill that Jiraxus bastard? How many times did that happen?
Too many times, dude.
Seriously.
Too many, and we had to watch this stupid little bastard introduce him over and over again.
It was and the Blood Beast were the two worst long intros for any fights in this game ever. Yeah. They've gotten smart since, though. You can skip a lot of that.
Exactly. You've learned that there must be like a guy in Blizzard who still vetoes those overly excited lore people who feel like, we need to tell them all about the history of the character. It's like, well, or we could let them just kill like this big horned demon thing. Yeah. Should we just go with that? Yeah. Should we just do? Yeah,
I like the ones, and I liked Dragon Soul where you you could watch the cinematics, and everyone else would have to wait for you to finish. I liked that because they weren't very long, and it was just, you know, those two guys jumping out of the thing on top of the dragon. Yeah. But I like to watch that every time, and I used to piss the team off because I'd be like, I like this, you guys. Just relax for a minute. It's all good. So what, 20 seconds of your life? Just relax.
Yeah, that's fine. It's the, you know, the stuff where you're sitting there for 2 minutes or whatever.
But make it a cool 2 minutes. I don't care. I'd watch this patch trailer.
You know, yeah, I'd watch this again. Sure, no problem. But I love,
he
you
says
know,
now.
I used to love hearing those guys go, our engines are damaged. And that whole bit, everything in there was some of my favorite content. And it's because it's short, it's bite-sized, it's still story, but it's not as long as sending a gnome to talk to Jiraxus for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Ooh, look what I have here for World of Tweets. All right, got a tweet here.
Wow, that was all
where
right.
Did this come from?
I know. Hey, we had a couple weeks between seeing us on a regular show, so I thought, hey, I'd throw something in there. The fact that the Alliance this is the Twitter question. They said the fact that the Alliance gives the Horde Orgrimmar back with no concessions or reparations sucks. And their answer to that was, it's an important Jaina versus Varian moment. Who is to say the High King made the right call? So, Terpster, any thoughts on that little piece of lore? Do you feel like the Orgrimmar thing passed hands too easily?
The thing is it says, like, gives the Horde Orgrimmar back. I mean, it's almost so a thing of, like, what would have happened if they kept it. I think, you know, it would have been, like, possibly a little bit too sort of East and West Germany if they'd kind of gone down this route about, like, yeah, we kind of fought an enemy, took their country or their city, and then we divided it amongst ourselves. And I don't know. I kind of feel like it would just stagnate the story too much. And ultimately, you know, we're still at war with each other.
Right.
And I don't know. I kind of feel like it would be a good thing. But this isn't an Alliance expansion.
No, they shortcutted it.
Yeah. Wrath was an Alliance expansion.
Right.
Yeah.
Cataclysm was a Horde expansion. This has been a Horde expansion. I think, you know, if it is Naga, then it's a Night Elf expansion. It's all going to be, you know, oh, we're so old, we remember these Naga. Oh, this is one of us. This is one of our corrupted, you know, and it's just going to be loads of, you know, satyrs and everything else.
Yeah. If there's an old god in heaven, perhaps Alliance will get their due this fall.
Well, if there is, we'll probably have to raid and kill him. So,
yep.
And they all seem to be after different body parts.
Right. So you guys go on the brain, all DPS these tentacles.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, C'Thun was a big eye, you know, and then there was the brain, but then equally he's like, he was just maws, loads of mouths, and it's like he was like spouting these. And then
now that you're saying the dark below, I think I know what body part we're going after this.
See,
time.
I know.
That's, I think, you know, and I think, you know, we've heard about Wangs of Warcraft before, but I think that WoW is going to go to a whole new level with WoW.
I was thinking of some lower intestinal tract of some terrible old god, but I'm glad you went with Wiener. Yeah.
Yeah, no, maybe. Maybe we could. We could, you know, literally have to stay out of the poop.
Fantastic. Check it out, everybody. It's time for Town Crier. We'll rip through these here.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier, yes it is. It's where we take your emails and your calls. Brought to you by Doghouse Systems. Use Henry for Double the Memory or GURP for a $50 gift certificate to /loot.com on any t-shirt you want, including one for the show. The Instance t-shirt is available there. That's DoghouseSystems.com. The best video game rigs on the planet. Forget about new consoles. They're already like 3 years ahead on these PCs.
No, exactly. And they've got, I was looking at the Mobius range.
Yeah.
Mine's still kicking it.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it doesn't stop me, you know, thinking like maybe I need a new one. I don't. but they've got the 780 graphics cards and stuff in.
Yeah.
And
they're screaming.
Yeah, someone at work has got one of those, and it's just like, oh, now I want one.
Yeah.
I don't need one. It doesn't, like, WoW doesn't look much better on it. It does look a little bit better.
Yeah.
But it's just like...
It doesn't matter. You still want it.
Still want it. That's the problem, yeah. Scott, is I kind of, I need, like, I think I need to kind of trust an adult with all my finances.
Yeah.
And that way, like, I you know, I have to ask them, like, Dad, can I get a Mobius? No, you've got a Mobius.
Yep.
Stop being stupid.
Yep.
So yeah,
and you forget like this Saints Row 4 coming out. You forget just how bad frame rates have gotten on current consoles with what they're trying to push on these things now, and how silky freaking beautiful, smooth, high resolution it is on your PC.
And my PC might as well be a console. Like I have mine plugged into my TV.
Yeah, I also have mine plugged into the TV, and I have a controller attached to it.
You can use a console controller. So
yeah, and it's great. 360 controller, copy of Saints Row 4. You're golden. And
Steam mode as well is amazing.
Oh, it's great.
It's great.
Yep.
That, yeah, you can't go wrong.
I agree. Love it. You'll love it too. Go check them out. DoghouseSystems.com is the place. You will not be regretful of that decision. All right, check it out. You can call us on this number, 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3969. I'm gonna start that over. 206-202-3-WOW.
Oh no. Oh, that's not what I wanted at all.
Yeah,
no.
It's not, is it?
That's not it.
You're going to hang up now on me like that guy.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you, you can also email your attachments and make them, you know, 30 seconds or so. Sometimes we get like 3 minute calls and we're not playing those, but we'd love to hear what you have to say. So make them short. Theinstance@gmail.com is where you send that and your written emails. Here are our calls for this week. Couple quick ones. Out leveling the zone you're in.
Hi, this is Norn Rad of MechFaradon. One thing I'd like to see Blizzard do is somehow be able to do a setting for leveling, so you don't level so fast. It'd be nice to be able to get through a zone without out leveling the zone so fast. God forbid you run a battleground, or God forbid you run a dungeon, you gain a level. It'd be nice if you can somehow have an option to slow down your leveling so you can naturally progress like in vanilla WoW. Thanks.
You do have a way to do that. You turn XP off.
You can, but you got to turn it all the way off. There's no way to tune it. Mm-hmm. And I think what he wants is to be able to tune it, but that's not going to happen unless they go the Guild Wars way.
Can you level a higher character? I'm just trying to think what they have to do.
Like right now, the way it works right now, let's say you enter a zone and you're digging the lore and you're loving the quests, but you realize you're ahead now because you also ran two dungeons with buddies. You can just literally turn XP off until you're done with what you want to do. And then leave that zone and remember to turn it back on.
I could do that. I would honestly, that would make me feel like physically discomforted.
Me too,
it's,
dude.
You know what? It's annoying because you have to go. You have to travel to a city to do this in the first place. So it's not even.
Yeah, not maybe like if I could like just toggle exactly, go into your settings or something like that, or right click your character portrait and.
Or maybe I think it would be more interesting, though, to have something where you turn all of the mobs into elite mobs and you just continue on, and then the actual rewards, like when you loot the bodies, you get a little bit more of a chance to pick up, you know, some loos and stuff like that.
But also, maybe if they could have an option that you can just build up levels, but you only level up when you want to. So I can still get XP, but it kind of stores up as a level that I can choose to...
And you can turn on that level.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So if you wanted to, maybe it could be like, you know, pause leveling and you still get the XP and you still get it all, but then you just spend it as and when you want. The Timeless Isle we haven't talked about, and I think it's
we haven't.
We need to talk about it next week, otherwise we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
But one of the things they've talked about when designing that, they've said, is that it's built for solo play, really. And that there's, there are group monsters on there, and there's elites that will require solo players to dodge and move out the way and be very active and participatory in that fight. But what they're saying is that the idea is that in the next expansion, when you're leveling up a character, that zone will still feel playable. It won't be filled with a load of mobs that you need a load of, you know, high level friends also killing stuff to do it. You know, it's going to be soloable, and I kind of like the idea. They've said that they've put a few quests in the Timeless Isle, but they've left it mainly explorable, and they want it to be a place filled with exploration. And
which I love. I'm totally pumped about that.
Yep. It'd be interesting to see how it works, really, just purely based on the fact that, you know, WoW is so data mined and so analyzed that I don't know how I feel about not knowing where to go, or if it will be a case of that I will know where to go because, you know, WoWhead's already got a guide up and it says, you know, go here, go into this cave, turn right, and you've got this guy here. You know, I've got no idea what the true sort of feeling of that's going to be. If I like,
well, I mean, with quest helper in the game already, it's I don't see how it's not ever going to be. They're not going to go back to the way it used to be, where you had to actually read the quest text and figure out. Because there was a time when I didn't even have quest helper, I didn't have any of that. I was literally looking at the quest text, going, "Well, where is it telling me to go?" And then opening the map and looking for that name or whatever. Whatever it said, go north. I would go north. You know?
And you get north, and you go, "Well, they're not here." And you'd open the quest text again and say, "Oh, well, look for the trees."
Such a different and more frustrating time. But there were certain aspects to that that were kind of enjoyable.
There are things about I miss. There was kind of that satisfaction of I've done this thing and I've pulled it off and I did it on my own and I didn't need help. I understand.
Just kind of looking around more, you know, you actually saw more of the map because you had to kind of ride around for a while until you found the thing you were looking for.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. All right, we got another call here real quick. This one about guild leaders using LFR to train their people.
Hey guys, Urhar from Westbrooklyn here. I've noticed that with LFR and looking for dungeons, it's really easy for your guildies to look over getting that personal connection with each other. Because I asked for help to do dungeons and do raids, and they told me, you know, just go do it on your own, look, get into the randoms and get geared up, and then eventually you can get into raiding with us.
So it's an interesting part that you don't think about. When guilds are trying to get stuff together in the past, the way they would work it is they would have to help each other. They'd say, all right, well, we'll walk you through this, or, hey, have you watched the videos? Okay, well, you can come with us tonight because your item level's cool and we can get in there now or whatever. Now they can literally just say, just go to Belafar and quit bugging us until you're high enough, and then we'll talk. It's an interesting shift.
Yeah, I mean, it's not exactly the same, but I think it's probably the best tool out there. You know, it's like a practice thing.
It's just too easy to dump them off, you know? Like, you don't have to. If you're a guild leader and you really just don't want to deal with it, it's just easy to say, well, LFR, go.
Well, I mean, does anybody remember run-throughs? Has anybody ever asked for a run-through anymore?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't see that at all, but that used to be really common in trade. Like, I will pay 20 gold to get run through this thing, and you just don't see it because
that's
don't need it.
That's a good point, I don't. Yeah, I can't remember the last time.
I don't ever remember the last time I've seen that.
There's just no need for it now. It's like, no, just queue the thing that's the level you are, and eventually you get to the thing that you need. And, yeah, and it's so easy to actually kind of get through all the stuff and get to the point where you can start helping out that there is no need for the guild to look out for you and help you out. And I guess, you know, there's good and bad parts to that. And the good part is that you don't need to have everybody run you through stuff. But the bad part is maybe you hang out less with your guildies. So
yeah, that's one potential thing.
He's got a valid point. Yeah.
Eludra the Mage, finding all the pets so you don't have to, in the chat room says, I was asked for one just two nights ago. Well, I think that is the exception.
Well, they just wanted to hang out with Eludra. That's all that was.
Right. They want to see her many pets.
I just think, like, you know, I understand the point that this guy's making is that he wants to get played with. He wants to play with his guildies, right?
Yeah.
But the fact is, the times have changed, you know, and I don't think we're going back to the way it used to be. I'm sorry. It sucks in certain aspects, but overall, I think that it's better the way it is now. Overall,
I would agree.
Take the good with the bad.
Quick email here. Got one from Josh who says, hey, guys, just sitting here watching the Dota 2 tournament. And no pun intended. This tournament is as polished as ESPN with interviews, great commentating, and presentation. We all love Blizzard and their games, but can we all agree they deserve the biggest ball drop of the decade award? It was theirs, and they did nothing. StarCraft II has been dropping in the MLG. What are your thoughts? Love the show, though. Josh, so, you know, pit it up against LOL and Dota 2 and the MOBA craze that is happening right now, considering the entire thing sprang from Warcraft 3 as a mod. Did Blizzard... I mean, I have my two minds here. Because to say that Blizzard dropped the ball is also kind of saying, well, geez, Blizzard, thanks for focusing on those other awesome experiences you worked on during that time.
I think, though, equally, it's obviously hindsight's, you know, 2020, and it would be like saying, I don't know, you know, those Nazis sure messed up in not using their rockets to go to the moon. You know, I think people didn't know you could do it. Like, they didn't know this was actually going to be a thing and it would be so useful and so amazing. I think, you know, looking at people, I can't remember, like Valve, I guess, had shown that, oh, someone's made a good mod. Let's all give them a job and make them work here.
Yeah.
You know, Valve historically has always done that. Blizzard obviously hasn't. Maybe if they'd taken their turn to say, okay, guys who, you know, White Frog, I forget what his name is.
Ice Frog.
Yeah, Ice Frog. There we go. You know, here's a job. Let's make this official. Maybe, you know, they, you know, that would have been a good thing.
Yeah. In hindsight. Yeah. I think it's really hard at the time to know. I mean, if you'd asked me when I tried out that mob back in the Warcraft 3 days, if I thought that was going to be this worldwide competitive craze of all time, I would have laughed in your face. I thought Dota was hard and dumb.
I don't really like it, to be quite honest. I mean, I get it. I get why people like it. But for me personally, I don't. So, you know, maybe they felt the same kind of way. They were like, this is a cool mod, but I don't see this being.
Yeah.
And you can't really blame them for that. And I think, though, too, they wouldn't have wanted to put something out like this unless they were truly happy with it. And that's just how Blizzard works. So,
I mean, yeah, the fact we still haven't had All-Stars.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, they're not going to half-ass this. They're gonna full-ass it. And that's, you know, they probably didn't feel like they could devote the resources to do that at the time.
Well, and perhaps to their detriment, we'll find out when that thing comes out. Will it be special enough to make a dent? Do they even care about that dent now in terms of, do they just want to make another good alternate game experience? Or are they truly trying to compete in that space? Are they worried about StarCraft's position in competitive play? Like, there's just a lot of factors here.
It's surprising to me that there's StarCraft II is not an MLG. That's weird to me.
Well, it's in it. It's in there. It's just
No,
it just doesn't have the growth that like League of Legends and Dota 2. Dota 2 right now is on a sprint, and they did really. I watched a bunch of that. It was really good, really fun to watch. I mean, I still don't want to play it, but I get the appeal of it being this digital sport, and I totally get it. And it's exciting, and you're freaking into it, and you can't help but be excited about those kinds of things in the same way StarCraft did that, but. I don't know where their head is on it. I'll bet there's a little bit of regret about timing. There has to
be. Sure, maybe. Yeah.
Why wouldn't there be?
You guys seen Clear History? Did you watch that?
Your History. Oh, I heard about it, and I saw about 5 seconds of it in a hotel, but I was out of town and couldn't watch the whole thing.
Dude, watch it if you get a chance. Speaking of dropping the ball, check that movie out.
Is it bad, you mean, or is it good?
No, it's awesome.
Oh, okay.
It's awesome.
All right.
The whole movie's about dropping the ball.
It had the Eastbound and Down dude in it, and
it's got John Hamm, it's got everybody, it's got Michael, Bill Hader,
Mike
Keaton
was in it. He didn't look like him at all.
Eva Mendes
didn't look a thing like him.
It's got tons of people in it. It's awesome.
And Eva Mendes with weird makeup on.
Yeah, she plays like someone who used to be fat and is now no longer fat.
Yeah, but she's all wrinkly and weird looking. It's odd what I saw, but I didn't see the whole thing. All right, there's a little HBO recommendation for the week. Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Drop of the week. Quick one here, because I got some exciting news about next week.
The drop of the week.
All right. You guys probably already know all about The Burdens of Xiao Hao and that it's complete and the entire series is available on YouTube. You can see the entire story. It's Lore Walker Cho once again telling us a tale, a legend, if you will. And it's awesome, and I really liked it, and I want more of this. But what's really exciting, I even have a couple of clips here, just these real short ones. How about this one right here? Like my favorite one.
The Monkey King was overwhelmed by doubt.
I just like anything with the Monkey King in it. Oh, also this one.
A great gust blew the Monkey King away.
Anyway, I liked all seven of these.
Yeah.
The Monkey King. It's what's exciting is next week, if all goes well, and I'm told it's all preliminary at this point, so this could change, but it looks like I'll get a chance to sit down with Chris Metzen and three or four other people all involved in the creation of this thing, and we're going to talk at length on the show about what inspired it. Is this an indication of things they're doing in the future with Side Story? I'm super stoked at the idea that Blizzard is using resources to do things that aren't necessarily tied with patch releases or the bottom line. I mean, they are in some ways, but coming out with a 7-part series of a tale of Pandaria that has really nothing to do with the current content we're all excited about, but kind of enhances it all, just adds a little frosting on that cake, I think is super, super rad, and just shows a lot of creative juice going on over there. And I'm very hopeful that that they keep this up. So anyway, check it out if you haven't. It's The Burdens of Xiaohao. It's awesome. On YouTube now. Go to worldofwarcraft.com for links and all that stuff if you don't know how to search on YouTube. There you go. Do you guys like that stuff, by the way? You guys saw it, I assume, both of you?
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was very, very, very cool. It's the sort of thing like you got with The Matrix. They did like the Animatrix, and they did all these different animation styles telling different stories. Mm-hmm. I kind of would like to see more of that. I'd like to see, and they did it with Batman a little while ago. There was like a Batman anime and all the other bits.
Right.
I kind of feel like there's lots of cool opportunities.
It's like the Animatrix. Remember that? That weird.
That's literally what I just said.
Oh, did you say Animatrix? Yeah, I thought you said Batman. Yeah. Oh, I missed that.
No, that's why. Yeah, I led with that, but that's fine. Oh. That's good. It's good. I imagine most people missed it as well. But yeah.
I don't know how I just missed
it's
that.
Like Scott. It's a little bit like the Batman thing as well. So you know,
it'd be one thing if I was distracted, but I was literally listening very carefully. So I think this is my problem, not yours.
That's fine. No, that's good.
Weird.
I might watch all 7 of these, but I think I'm going to watch the 5.4 trailer again.
Yeah, you should do. Yeah. It should do that. Yeah. If you get tired of that, then go watch the shout-out thing because it's really, really good.
Amazing.
Facial expressions alone, and all my worries that he looked too much like an ape and all that. I take that all back. And if that's an indication of what the redo of the orc models that you Dills and I are going to get, I could not be more excited.
I want the big teeth coming out of my mouth to look all cool like that.
With like rings on them? What the hell, man?
Yeah.
Very cool. So awesome. Anyway, it's pretty sweet dental work. Let's do a quick contest.
I want shoulders like his. They don't even look like real shoulders. They're just the big chunks of wood coming up over the top.
And who are those? Those are tusks from somebody big, right? What's the lore on that? I forget.
I can't remember exactly who.
On Garrosh.
It's Garrosh. Yeah. Manoroth. That's it.
Yeah. Is it Manoroth? No, hang on. Is it Manoroth? No, what's the other one? Who's the one that's not in Outlands? The one that Grom killed.
Manoroth? Yeah. That's what I thought it was.
I thought it was Manoroth, not Manoroth.
Which one do you kill in Outlands? Because that's what I keep thinking it's him.
Oh.
Is Manoroth. Is that Manoroth or not?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's Tusks of Grom. Yeah, exactly. And the whole thing, he was the guy who corrupted the orcs with his demon blood.
Yeah.
And his dad killed him, and Thrall was like, let's make a statue out of this. This is a really cool thing.
Yeah.
And then Garrosh becomes war chief. He's like, nah, I'm going to wear those as shoulder pads.
Yeah, I'm actually going to wear these. I'm going to sleep in these.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right, quick contest. We are giving away, thanks to Blizzard Entertainment, a copy of the brand new World of Warcraft Bloodsworn, a comic hardbound book published by DC Comics.
It is Manoroth. It is
Manoroth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Doug Wagner and Jeremy Rapak. I'm not sure I ever say his name right, but he's the artist, and it's freaking amazing.
Oh, you can get them. Garrosh drops the tusks of Manoroth.
In the big he does. That's like not getting Illidan's glaives. That would be stupid.
Now I'm excited.
Anyway,
cool. I wasn't excited at all before. Now I am.
Now I need their strength, their DPS. They're definitely. Oh, I can't wait for those.
Yeah,
they're
it's gonna be good. Anyway, I am now reading my own copy of Bloodsworn. You can get your own free copy. Again, it's hardbound. It's DC. It's awesome. The art in here is amazing. The story's really good so far. I'm almost done with it, about halfway, and I'll review it in full next week. But you can win your own copy. We're going to give a couple of them away, actually. Looks like two of them to a couple lucky winners. Just simply go to theinstance.net/contest and fill out the little info there. It's not much, just a little form, easy sneezy. Theinstance.net/contest, and you could be the winner of World of Warcraft Bloodsworn by DC Comics and World of Warcraft /Blizzard. Okay, that's it for that. Let's see what else. Just want to thank friends at GameTimeZone.com for the discount code Warcraft. Get you 5% off any game time bought at GameTimeZone.com. And I think that's it. Dills, what's going on? You guys still doing your baseball show, but your team's sucking it. So
But we're in there. I mean, whatever. It's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're good. Sometimes you win the World Series, and sometimes you really suck at baseball.
Just watching that Ken Burns documentary, and those guys in New York are still pissed that you guys took their team all those years ago. Yeah.
Well, we're a good buddy of ours who was appeared on the show, whose dad was a New York Giants fan, who has then passed it on to him. He's never been to San Francisco his entire life. He's a huge Giants fan. He's going to be in town this coming weekend, and we're going to hopefully go to a game with him, get to hang out with him. So there's going to be a really cool episode revolving around that that will be coming up pretty soon. He's actually his father passed away recently. He's actually spreading his ashes in the McCovey Cove, which is the water area behind the ballpark.
Oh, no
so
way.
This is like a really big kind of pilgrimage for him. So
that's
it's
really,
be
really cool. Yeah.
Awesome episode. Yeah, we're excited to actually get to meet this guy in person.
Where can people
show him our beautiful ballpark?
Where can they get the show? I mean, iTunes and stuff, but
torturecast.com. And if you want to check out this guy's story, it's twooouthits.com. And he was on a long 2-hour episode we had a few months ago, and he's got a really, really cool story. So
that's awesome.
Check that out.
Yeah. Very cool. Terpster, anything up that you want to find folks to know about?
I'm at Gamescom next week, and then we're going to Insomnia 49, where they've got the Minecraft Expo UK. So actually, I'm not going to be here next week.
Right. You'll be at that.
There, doing that.
That's exciting. So, that's very exciting.
It should be exciting. It should be good. So if you're in the UK, come say hi.
Yeah. If you see him at Gamescom, too, walk up. Say hi. Yeah. Get him to sign your boob, whatever. It's not a problem.
Definitely.
Awesome. Look for that. You can follow us all on Twitter. You can find Terpster at _T, Dills at Willie Dills, me at Scott Johnson. I want to thank Matthew Oxley for our theme. Leave us a review on iTunes. We love those. Big thanks to intern Paul Swickard, who does our show notes, which you can find at theinstance.net. You can also find archives and forums and all kinds of stuff there. On Facebook, we're at /theinstance. You can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com.
The Instance. Oh, right. Okay.
Frogpants. Batman.
Just keep going to theinstance.com.
You can find it
just
at
keep going back there, because you can find more shows like this.
Animatrix.
Just older. Yeah. At the Instance.
At the Batman. Net. At the Batman. All right. That's it. Going to do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time for a brand new episode of The Instance. And until then, take care.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Hello, I strap my old friend. The hunter's frozen me again. The battle rages on, but not for me, until they hit me with some AoE. For a moment, I am free to fight again. Oh, but then I've been stunned and silenced. I cannot run, I cannot fight. I should have played D3 tonight. My health is dropping and I'm fading fast. I won't survive another arcane blast. And the bark skin that I thought I had timed so well was the sound. While I'm stunned and silenced, my macros won't do any good. I'd pop a cooldown if I could, but now the returns are diminishing. My stun duration soon is finishing. And the droplets of my shaman's healing rain ease the pain of a stunned and silence. The tables have begun to turn. Arlok is casting shadow burn, surrounded now by the entirety. or stomp them all inside a solar beam. And they know now as we make our final stride what it's like to be stunned and silent.
Lucha the Mage here, helping you get the rare pets. Welcome to the Throne of Thunder! What, you didn't want to raid? Well then, you're out of luck, because the Throne of Thunder is home to quite a few pets. Today, we're looking for Primordius, that lizard guy who has the oozes spawn during the fight. He drops not one, but two pets. Gasp! And they're dropped based on the difficulty that you are fighting him in. In LFR, you have the chance of finding the Living Fluid, which is taught from an item called the Quivering Blob. The Living Fluid is a magic-type pet, and is also a red oozling. But in normal and heroic modes, he can drop the Dark Quivering Blob, which will teach you the Viscous Horror. This is a red and black blobby that is also a magic pet, but he has an evil, creepy face. The only real difference between these two pets, besides looks, is their second slot to ability. Living Fluid has acidic goo, while the Horror has plagued blood. All in all, it's up to you which one you want to use in the battle. Or, you know, whichever one drops. If you like this segment, or you want to tell me how awesome I am, you can visit the website at aludraspets.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at aludra_AIE. And for more Battle Pet information, head on over to battlepet.net.
Hey everybody, it's Amy Jade. And believe it or not, warlocks actually have a glyph that benefits them, even though it was designed with all of the other classes in mind. The reason warlocks conjure Ace so well is because, believe it or not, their intentions are good. Well, I should say it's good for them. They want you to click on it to get your Hellstone or your cookies, so that by keeping you alive, they can eventually win their loot or win their honor points. Sadly, even with that graphic of a big, brownish-green smoking pedestal that falls from the sky, many players still fail to see the soul well, and so they do not reap its benefits. So the designers at Blizzard gave warlocks the glyph of Soulwell, a minor glyph that adds a beautiful, fell-green, ethereal glow that spreads out from our soul wells, so that other classes can't miss it or its point. And the point is that cookies are there to help you, to help your healers, to help your team, and to better serve the biddings of a warlock.
This is Frost from the Airy Peak server Alliance side, and I was listening to the instance, and I'll try to keep this short, but I was thinking about the WoW movie and how it's made and how Blizzard Entertainment works as a whole. I think that Blizzard is a genre-changing company, and I think that with Duncan Jones and the way that they're going with the direction of this whole movie, that they can create this universe and put out quality movies within, like, 2 years. So you have, like, a book, and you go off the story, and you put out a movie, and then every 2 years you get a new movie that is from a book or maybe new storyline. An Arthas will come up. Maybe in 3 years down the line, you'll have an Arthas movie. And I'm just thinking about it and how Blizzard will go at this and create this movie and create this whole way we watch movies. Sorry if it's confusing, but I was just thinking about it and trying to get it out in words is a little difficult. But you guys have a good day.
Hello everyone, this is Notable Gnomes with Lumpen and Kimmy from Gnomes Eye View.
We thought it would be fun to highlight some of the wonderful gnomes that can be found around Azeroth. We are small and often forgotten, but more important than many people realize.
For this very first edition of Notable Gnomes, we decided that it would be none other than the most respected gnome of all, High Tinker Megator. This gnome wasn't just elected to be the leader of all gnomes, he earned it.
That's right, Gelbin Megator not only invented the Mechanostrider, Gyromatic Microadjuster, and Repairbot, he also dreamed up the Dwarven Siege Engine and Deep Run Tram.
The gnome is genius, and he really loves his people. He will not rest until Gnomeregan is restored and rebuilt to be the amazing city that it should be. He has got to be one of the smartest, most loving, and loyal gnomes ever to grace Azeroth.
If you would like to see the High Tinker himself, he can be found just outside of Nomeragan in New Tinkertown. There is also a fantastic short story about him at us.battle.net, so check it out.
For more information about High Tinker Mechatork or Gnomes Eye View, please visit our website at gnomeseyeview.com. We can also be reached by email at show@gnomeseyeview.com or on Twitter at Gnomes Eye View.
Hug a gnome!
Baseball drug scandal spreads to Pandaria. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. Major League Baseball has been rocked recently by evidence of performance-enhancing drug use by some of its biggest names. The source of the juice, however, has been a mystery. Now we know the answer, as a joint task force of the DEA and the Shadow Pan announced today that the Shah of Anger has entered the Witness Protection Program and agreed to provide evidence on how he supplied players with a highly potent liquid form of Shah energy. He has been given a new identity and a new voice, as his distinctive bellow was very familiar to any visitor to Kunlai Summit. In an ODN exclusive, we have audio of his initial interview with prosecutors, with his new voice digitally altered for his protection.
A-Rod loved the stuff. He was my best customer. He always wanted an extra dose when playing against the Red Sox. I think Schilling and Veritek pwned him and Jeter once in a 2v2 arena match, and he never got over it. Talk about your Shah of holding a grudge.
Given the involvement of the Shadow Pan, it doesn't take a gnomish engineer to figure out that Garrosh Hellscream is an orc of interest to law enforcement. When it comes to serving a search warrant on him, however, the old taunt, "You and what army," takes on a whole new meaning. Stay tuned for more details. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Hale and Well Met.
Mr. Hale and Well Met.
You can't spell MMORPG without RP, and there are some who take it very seriously.
Hale and Well Met.
And while some type out dramatic speeches and actions, there are others like you who make use of WoW's macro system to save a few keystrokes.
Hail and well met!
And while it makes it easier for you, for others trying to create a backstory for their level 3 mage, it makes your conversation as exciting as a Griffin Master.
Hail and well met.
So crack open an ice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you perplexing, parroting, self-aware, conversation-free NPC. Macros are good for DPS, but the D isn't for dialogue.
Mr. Hail and well met.
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek. Hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes. Special thanks to Twitter user ScorpionKing601 for this week's idea.
Ready, aim, what?
This is Hunter Talk. I am Johnny Feisty, the hunting hunter, with tips to make your hunter hunterific. This week's topic is Garrosh Hellscream. Welcome to Hunter Talk. Joining me today is my normally level-headed co-host, Flappy the Dragonhawk. Yeah, right, Flappy. Everyone has seen the trailer. Well, I'm assuming. By now, everyone is probably aware that the trailer for Patch 5.4, Siege of Orgrimmar, is out, and, you know. No, I don't want to hear your impression of Garrosh. Shush, Flappy. I want to talk about the trailer and some of the stuff in 5.4. You may have noticed that... Flappy, what are you doing? Flappy, dragonhawks can't fight with swords. It's not part of the game. Listen, if they let Dragonhawks... Wait, are you fighting with or against Vol'jin? I don't understand what you... No, you can't just fight with whoever is winning. That's not how this stuff works. There are no free agents. No, Pandaren aren't free agents. I can't believe you don't understand how this stuff works. Wait, where are you going? Ugh. Thanks for listening to Hunter Talk. I need to go prevent a humongous mistake from occurring. Big ups to Flappy at Johnny Feisty on Twitter.
JohnnyFeisty, because he likes you.
Greetings and welcome to Slashgrats. I'm your host, EFinkG4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft. This week's achievement is Burning Man. The goal here is to cause Brother Korloff to light 6 nearby training dummies on fire, and then defeat him.
in the Scarlet Monastery on heroic difficulty. Now, before you even pull the boss, you're going to want to go around that entire courtyard and get rid of all those ads. Because while you're doing this, there's a highly good chance that you're going to aggro some more of the ads. That's just going to throw a wrench into the fight. So go ahead and clear the whole area first. Now, during the fight, you just want to get everybody to stack up near the dummies. They're on either side of that little watery area. So everybody go to the left and, you know, bring the boss, and when he does his firestorm kick, that's when that huge big ball of fire comes out. That's going to light those dummies on fire. You can do that on the right side, and then cross the water, DPS them a little, go on the left side. And boom, big firestorm kick, they're on fire. And then just take them down. And if you do this correctly, you will get the achievement Burning Man and 10 points. Past segments and notes are at slashgrats.com. You could follow me on Twitter at efinkg4. Good luck, and I'll see you next week.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week we'll explore a more abstract concept in retrocausality. After watching a recent Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman, I had to bring up this topic for this segment. The concept of retrocausality is, in short, the future affecting the present, that somehow elements of the future go backwards and affect the timeline as we know it. In physics, it is an untested theory. The idea largely falls under Wheeler-Feynman absorber theory that says positrons are the same as electrons, just going backwards in time. While this theory has helped other developments in physics, it is still largely a debated theory. So, what does retrocausality mean in the macro sense? As the episode of Through the Wormhole shows, it could mean that your body readies for your decision before you even made it. Things could get more interesting if multiple possible futures exist, all somehow affecting the present. For Warcraft, we may be seeing a very visible version of this with Timeless Isle that will show up very soon. Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com. And always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Oh, Ludra the Mage here.
And I'm Ben, the Mage, too. I'm a Mage.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. We clear on this?
I think so.
Okay, awesome. And we're here to talk about Battle Pets, episode 28. Words are hard.
Yeah, you can hear us mess up our words in various topics, such as what's that word?
Oh, and the pet battling teamsters.
Yeah, no, wait, what? What do unions have to do with this?
Ugh, forget it.
Also, we have a new segment and new challenges.
Yeah, and you're so not going to win. Smack talk.
Oh, this is coming from the mage who can't keep her words straight. All show. Just how long have you been speaking English anyway?
Okay, you know what? I checked the spellbook and there is no English. So I'm doing pretty darn good, if you ask me.
If you'd like the magic decoder ring to what we're actually talking about, head over to battlepet.net, Stitcher, or iTunes.
How do you even spell that? Or... actually, that's kind of funny since it's in the spellbook.
Hey, Scott, Dills, and Terpster. I just finished listening to last week's show. I thought it was really funny. You brought up that old song, That's the World of Warcraft, that you play. And you brought up a cover of it. That song, and, you know, the big deal was that it was like a ska cover. Scott really liked that. But the original song, That's the World of Warcraft, that you play, is based off of Weird Al Yankovic's Your Horoscope for the Day or something like that. I forget what it's exactly called word for word. But that original song was a ska song. It had like the trombone player and the trumpet player from Real Big Fish or something like that. You know, it was a big ska hit. It's really awesome. Go back and listen to it. Love the show. Talk to you later. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!